Torreyway, Northwest London. Can't read this. Which day in the year is it today? It's Aleph Eor. No, it's not. It's Lamed Nisan. Yeah? Lamed Nisan, Rosh Chodesh Eor, the 5th of May, Harav Yosef Gerber. Relax, it will happen anyway.
To everybody. It's really very nice being here. You know, you set these machines in the cars. You know, in my time, we used to, for Blondia, we used to lose our way, and now you've got a machine, whether it's TomTom or whatever you call it, Malekdoran, you put a few numbers in, and it tells you where to go. You know, the Torahway is a TomTom, isn't it? Gemara says in Chagiga, if a thing starts right, it'll go right. If you start the day the Torah way, you're not the pshat, you're starting the day. You're continuing the day, you're setting your tom-tom. And every move you do for the whole day is governed by the fact that you started the day the Torah way. And therefore it's a dover godel, this. It's mamish a dover godel. It gives a person hadrocha. Because when a person's Binyotza Limud HaTorah, the ganze Welt is different to him. We're still reflecting on the taste of the Afikoman. Al Yisalel Chochum B'Chochmosu Yigibu B'Gvurosu Yosho B'Yosho Kiyim B'Zos Yisalel Mishalel Haskel V'Yodeya Ozi Zot B'Svas Emes Al Yisalel Chochum B'Chochmosu. That refers to Parshas Poah, which Shlomo Melech says, "Amartiach kimo yurechoko mimeni." Gibber b'gvuroso is Mechemes Amalek. It wasn't your koyach. Al Yisalel, kasher yoy Moshe es yodo. That was a koyach. V'oshe v'yoshrei, the money doesn't belong to you. The money, you're merely a gizber on the money which a Kodesh Baruch Hu gives you. And that's Parshas Shkolim. Your money must be dedicated, sublimated, elevated Hashem Shemayim. Kiyim Bezos is halal mishalal. This you're allowed to be proud of. This you've got to sort of be stolz with. Haskel v'yadea osi. That you should have seichel v'yadea osi. To know me. You need seichel to be yadea. And remember, this is Sfas Emes, that the word yadea does not mean simply knowledge, that you know somebody's phone number. Yadea is the pshat that you are at one with a certain idea, as it says, v'yeda odom eschava ishto, or like one person. Haskel v'yedeh osi means you're dovok to the bonus shalom, to the bora olam, you're at one with him. And that is, in fact, the tam panimi of echod miyadeh, shnai miyadeh, and so on. It's basically a simple jingle, but it goes very deep. The pshat is, it's called the sublineal awareness. If someone says to you, one, what do you think of? You're number one, you have to think of the Rabboni Shlalom. And similarly, before you've had time to think, the subconscious realization and association with a number is with Dovah Sheva Kedusha. And that's how Haskel V'Yedeh Osi, to associate yourself with Kedusha.
Where is the Sfas Emes
street? This is the Sfas Emes.
Where is it?
The Sfas Emes says it in the Sfas Emes al Torah on these parshiyos, on the Dalet parshiyos, in connection with the Dalet parshiyos. You know, I heard from a very, very dear friend, actually, one of my first Rebbes, of Sosson Abrams, of Chonon Livrocha, I heard a pshat in the name of the Shuri Das of Tells. The Shuri Das of Tells actually was my Rebbe, Reb Nosson Alban's Rebbe. The Shuri Das says something which is very, very profound. He says, the Rebbe Shalom couldn't show Moshe his presence. Moshe said, Hareini nois kodecha. He said, no, Yisum es achurai upon ala yuro. So the Shuri Das explains the three ahasogas, that when somebody's approaching you, you see his face. When he's already been, then you see his back. You see the back when he's left you. That's what Rabbeinu Shlom said to Moshe Rabbeinu, you can't see my face. That means before I've created a world with all the tzimtzum which is required to for Bias HaOlam from the Kedushas HaBora, it's impossible to have awareness of me. Le'irani Adam V'choy, when I've been already, when I've made a world, when I've been mitzamtzei myself, as the Gemara says, Misha Omer Le'olam died. He had to be constrain himself, limit himself, in order that this should be a Bria. Then you can see a Riyasimus HaChoroi. You can see me when I've been already. And how do you see it? Through the Kesher Shel Tfilin, through the Maisa HaMitzvah. And that's Haskel V'Yodea Osi, through the Maisa HaMitzvah. This is the idea. And the Sfasemis says on Ovos, it says that Vasor Mamoros Niva Olam. And why Vasor Mamoros Mitzvahs of Tzadikim Umikai Niva Olam, which was Niva Vasor Mamoros. And Liparam and Rishoyim, and to pay back the Rishoyim who were Ma'abed the Olam, which was Niva Vasor Mamoros, says the Sfasemis, what does this mean? If the Banisher would make it in one mimer, would it be less or more? Says the Sfasemis, Vasor Mamoros means 10 dagos of tzimtzum. The Rebbeinu Shlom is kaviyochol so great, so awesome, it's totally beyond the ability of any boss of a dom to be masik anything of him. So the Rebbeinu Shlom has to constrain himself, tzimtzum achat tzimtzum. And the Asura Mamoros represents stages of being at tzamtzim himself, so that it's possible for us to be aware. And now, says the Fasemis, we can understand the pshat in the Mishnah. Vasor Mamoros litin schar to the tzaddikim who are makayim the olam, which was niva with 10 mamoros, which means that Rabbeinu Shlom made it possible to have bechira. He gave us bechira by constraining his kedusha. You don't have bechira about cholila cholila jumping into a fire. It's too obvious. It's too strong. It's too powerful. It's not shaykh. But if you don't realize it's fire, if the fire is concealed, if olam alosha ne'alam, then it's shayach already, cholila cholila, to defy the rotzon of the bora olam. And therefore, the 10 mamoros make it possible to have bechira. And because of bechira, there's schava onish. And bechira, says the Rambam, is the yesod of the kola Torah kula. And that's the same inyan of the Rebbeinu Shalom, says, v'yisemes achoroi. And this inyan of Tzimtzum is a very, very profound inyan, the Fi Agon. The Vilna Gaon explains it in this way, the Fi Aur Soga, what we can understand of it. He says that there are, in fact, Zion Nekiim, seven heavens. But if you look in the Gemara Chagiga, the one Mandama says there are nine. And he says, the Gaon, there are no Plukta there. There are seven Ikrim, but there are two more. In fact, there are nine dagas of Vakia, and that represents a tzimtzum of the Rabbeinu Shalom being mitzamtzim himself, one level after another, nine dagas, until he reaches Bias HaOlam, and then you come to the next stage, the tenth, which is the Yam, which is the sea. Why is the sea before the Oretz? Because everything in the sea is Torah. You don't find Tumah in the sea, on the contrary, the water is Mataya. And that which comes from the water is Torah. Then you get to the Oretz, which is the 11th, the final level, the where we live, where we are, in the Mokum, where Tumah and Torah are intermixed. Says the Gaon, and this is a sod of the Atbash Gematria system. The Atbash system, which goes in the same way. How does Atbash work? At has 11, there are 11 combinations of letters from Aleph Tov, up to the level of Chof to Lamed. 11 combinations of the 22 letters according to the Atbash system, and it starts off with the Aleph and Tof. That is the two extremes. That is before the Tzimtzum. And then it goes down level after level through the nine Rakiim, and the tenth is Yud Mem, Yam. The 11th is Chaf Lamed Kol. Kol means everything. That means everything which is on the Oretz, that's our world. That's what the Gaon says. It's a remez to us. And then he says a Moridika Pshat in the Mishnah in Kalim. The Mishnah in Sof Kalim says on Reb Yothi, Ashrecha Kalim, She Nichnasta Vatuma Vyotzosa Vatara. What does it mean? That the first Mishnah in Kalim deals with Oves HaTuma. The last Mishnah on the 30th Perek of Kelim deals with Kelim which are Torah. So Ashrecha Kelim shenichnasta v'tumah v'yotzasa v'tara. You are Mekayim the Votzen Abora. You started with Tumah and you end up with Tara. You turn Tumah into Tara. But the Kiva Ego actually brings a riot from this, that the structure of the Mishnah was known before, way before the time that Bein HaKodesh put it down. Because Omer Rav Yossi is part of the Mishnah, and he's describing what the whole Mishnah, the whole set of Mishnais of Kalim is all about. Says the Gaon, Kalim is Chof Lamed Yud Mem. Chof Lamed is the 11th of the 11 Tzimtzumim which are in the Atbash. Chof Lamed, Kol, that refers to the Oretz, where everything is. The next Yud Mem is Yam. That's the stage, that's the Tumah to the Tahara. That's Kelim. Ashrech or Kelim, you'll start with Chof Lamed, you end with Yud Mem. This is the Gaon's Pshat. But the Hezbah to us is the Tzimtzum which Kodesh Baruch Hu gives in order that the world should be, we should have some conception of it, some conception of the world. And a Kodesh Baruch Hu works on a different time scale to us. His whole cheshbon is not with tzimtzum like we are, and the more we get out of our tzimtzum, the more our devekus to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. A Kodesh Baruch Hu, you know, there's a Goyish saying which says the mills of Hashem grind slowly, but nevertheless they grind exceeding small. Nothing is missed. A Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't miss out. They say, in fact, that the Malchus Bovel, for example, lasted 1600 years from the time it started off with Nimrod. Why is he called Nimrod? Because he was murdered by Malchus Shemaim. And when was the end of Malchus Bovel? After Nebuchadnezzar Melech Bovel was overrun, was overtaken, he had a granddaughter called Vashti. And she was killed, and that was the end of Malchus Bovel, 1600 years after it started. How was it started? By being married with Malchus. Vashti was also married by Malchus, as a symbol to us that the Ribbono Shel Olam, as it were, takes his time, and eventually the end of Malchus Bovel comes, 1600 years later. The Ribbono Shel Olam's got his cheshbonos, he works on a totally different time scale. And that, in fact, is the Tam Pnimi I mentioned by Rebbe Reb Noson Ordnum. Reb Noson learnt shut like this in a Gemara. A Gemara in Chof Dalad Makkos, Sof Makkos, Rabbi Kiva was walking on Badahar Bayis, and he's walking with Elezer, Rabbi Shur, Rabbi Gamliel, the Gedolei HaTanoim of that man. They were all crying and he was laughing. Everyone knows this Gemara. And they say, why are you laughing? He said, why are you crying? It's pretty obvious we're in Chav Bayis and we see foxes running. So he said, that's why I'm laughing. I'll give you Adam Nemonim, Uriah and Zechariah. Uriah says that Siyam, the Sorotech of Siyam will be plowed over. And Zechariah said, Od Yeshu was the Kenim, the Kenis, the Chutzos Yisraelim, there'll be a Gula. And just as I see the Kiyam of the Nevuah of Uriah and Bayis Rishon, that Siyam was going to be plowed over, if that comes true, then so too will the second Nevuah of Zechariah, Od Yeshu, the Kenim, the Kenim, to also become to us. So is Dr. Gemara. Says Reb Nosson, Eshter to see, what's this godless of Rabbi Kiva, which apparently the other Tanoim were not quite with? Rabbi Kiva had to be, as it were, Malamed, his Chaverim, the Gedolei HaTanoim. It refers back to a Gemara in the Doim, when Turnus Rufus of Rosha sent his wife to Rabbi Kiva to entice him to do an Aveira. And when he saw her, he laughed, he cried, and he spat. The Gemara says in the Doim, think about Nun Beis. What's the pshat? He laughed because he saw he was destined to marry her. She was going to be Misgaya. She wanted to entice him to an Aveira, but he laughed. He cried. He thought of her great beauty, which is going to be buried in the ground and will decay. And he spat. He saw, where do you as a human being come from? As the Kavya says, Matipas Rucha. And that's why he spat. What's the godless of Rabbi Akiva? He could see the beginning, the end, and the past. Mabit Lesof Tov Obakad Musay. He was the Maila Min Azman. He had that koyach of the Fi His Daga, which the Ribbono Shel Olam himself has, of being the Maila Min Azman. Of a Kodesh Baruch Hu created time. time is not, as it were, something which governs the Rabbeinu Shalom. Rabbeinu Shalom governs time. And that's the same Rabbi Kiva at the end of Makkos with Uri and Zechariah. He sees the beginning and the end. He sees the overall structure. He's mavit l'sof dover b'kad musa. It's an under a cook, a different look. You know, there is in Eretz Yisrael a Rav there. His name is Raphael Lau. He's actually the brother of the chief rabbi. And he is the Rav in Netanya. And I heard this from Aaron Danderovitz. And he told me that there was a program in Eretz Yisrael interviewing Rabbonim. Why did you become a Rav? Why did you become a rabbi? So Rav Foyal Lau, who's a Rav in Netanya, told the following maisa. He said he received a phone call from a young lady who was about to get married. And she said, she said, I was present when you were Masada Kedushin. I was so nispoiled. You did it with such eslavos and such ernstkeit. I would like you to be Masada Kedushin for me. He said, well, it's very, very flattering to hear that. This Hashem, I'd like to do it. But when is your chasana? She said, on the 13th of Nisan. 13th of Nisan. It's the night, that night there's B'dikas Chometz. He's a Rav in Netanya. All the hotels there. Everybody's doing B'dikas Chometz with Shilas about kashering. It's the busiest day of the year. He said, I can do it any day, but not the 13th of Nisan. She was very upset. She hung up. A little while later, she came back on the phone. She said to the Kvod Harav, I really want it. It means so much to me. You only get married once, Bezos Hashem, in your life. I want you to be there. The Hed Rachmona says, okay, I'll come to your chasana. But on one condition, you have to make it 5 o'clock on the dot, and I'll come just before and leave straight after, and I can't delay, but I'll be Masada Kedushin, Bezos Hashem. He went to this chasana. It was not easy for him, but he saw the woman really wanted it. When he got there, an older man came over to him and said, Shalom to him, and I'm delighted to see you. He said, I came from Venezuela, and I'm the Zeda of the color. And the reason why I came, I have a special reason for this. This is what he said. He says, I was living in a town, I'm not sure if I've got the name right, Pietrzów in Poland, a Polish town. And the last Kedushin in Pietrzów, before the Nazis, Yemach Shemoi, deported all the Yidden, and they were all murdered, was my Kedushin. I got married there. And the Rav of the town was Masada Kedushin for me, and straight afterwards the Nazis came to arrest the Yidden, and we ran away, we joined the partisans, and Baruch Hashem, we survived the war. And this granddaughter of mine, this Einikul, who's getting married today, is to me an answer to what these Rishonim wanted to do. They wanted to destroy us, and we say, no, we're carrying on. We're here. We're here for the duration. We are Yidden. And he says, the Rav of that town, I'm sure you've never heard of him, he said, was someone called Raphael Lau. So he blinked, Raphael Lau. That was his great-grandfather. Who was murdered by the Roshoim. That was his great-grandfather, and this was the last Kedushin he was Masada before he was deported, and now he's called by this woman, to this lady, to be Masada Kedushin for the great, for the continuity of what was started by his great-grandfather 70 years earlier. The mills of Hashem grind slowly, but they grind exceeding small. A Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't miss anything. Right. Water? Oh, it's clear. A Kodesh Baruch Hu misses nothing. A Kodesh Baruch Hu is Masada. He should be the one Masada to Masada Kedushin for this lady. When he told this older man what his name was and his origins, it was just overwhelmed. It's Kodesh Baruch Hu knows what he's doing. It's chutzpah to say it, but that's the reality. Let me tell you.
That's not the reason why she called him.
What was the reason?
No, we're saying she called him because she liked his Siddur Kedushin.
Yeah, but the Rabbeinu Shlomo was Masadeh to put that into her mind.
She didn't know the story about her grandfather.
Of course, but that's not relevant. What you're saying is not relevant. The relevant part is there's a man he got oil on who's in control. That's the answer. And let me tell you, a Maisa Niflo. A Maisa Niflo, we'll finish with this. There was a true story, a recent story, of a family, a former Haredisha family in Eretz Yisrael, who were looking for a shidduch for their second son. And they tried over a period of a year or two. They didn't quite find it. They weren't looking for golden glick, and they weren't looking for millionaires for yichus. They wanted a normal person, an erlich, Yiddish girl. But you know, Rabbi Shlomo Sonntag said, a normala mensch is a yekara metzius. They didn't find. Eventually, he met a young lady from a nice Hamish, Haredisha family, just what he wanted, an erlich girl. She was intelligent, she was a sneer stick, she was a neighbor stick, almost just what they were looking for. And the young man himself was a very nice Erech, a young man. The Shidduch went on ice, it was so smooth, there was no problem there. And they met by the third time they'd already made up their mind. Within a few days, the Shidduch was already agreed, and the two families got together. Just the immediate family, and they had a l'chaim, and the next day the boy, the chosum, went back to yeshiva. And you can imagine the simcha and the yeshiva. They dance, they sing to greet him. Later in the evening, the boy was feeling mamash on top of the world. He gets a lovely kala, Baruch Hashem, he's a chosum. One of the bochum comes up to him. He says, "By the way," he says, "you know, you should look into your shidduch. Did you know that your color is a gyoris?" It hit him like a sledgehammer. Oh, of course he didn't know.
Was he a coat?
Well, we'll come to it. He was completely bewildered. He didn't know what to say. He went home that night, fatumult, confused. He told his parents. Everybody was gyoris or not. At least he needs to know. And not only that, and if the Shatran didn't tell him she was a Gioris, then what other secrets are there which he doesn't know? Who knows? They phoned the Shatran. The Shatran was shocked. They weren't sure if the Shatran was putting on an act or not. Half an hour later, the Shatran came back on the phone. "No, it's absolutely not true. The truth is, her the great grandmother of the Kala was a Gioris." Oh, that's showing under a miser. So they were relieved. It's not a reason to call off the shidduch, but they were still uneasy. Where did she come from, this great grandmother, to become a gioris? So they get back to the shadchan. They said, "We're not putting the shidduch at risk now. We're going ahead, bezras Hashem. But we're still curious. We want to know Ma'ai and Yova. Where did they come from?" The shadchan eventually did his inquiries and came back. He said that the great grandmother of the Kala was a daughter of a Ukrainian peasant farmer, and his name was Simon Witrov, something like that, the name. And that's what she conveyed to the family of the Chosum, and I don't know anything more about them, he said. He or she, I don't know who the Shatchum was. When the grandmother of the Chosun heard the name Shimon Witrov, she burst into tears. It was almost uncontrolled. She couldn't stop crying. They eventually calmed her down. And she said, "What's going on here?" I said, "Do you know who Shimon Witrov was? Let me tell you what happened. I was, not myself, my mother was hiding from the Ukrainians at the time when the Nazis came." Everyone knows what happened in Ukraine. The Nazis had great willing collaborators with the Ukrainian Goyim. They together wanted to hunt down the Yidden. And the Ukrainians were just as bad as the Nazis. Yimach Shemom Kulam. "My mother," said the grandmother, "was hiding in the forest." Imagine a young woman hiding alone in the forest. And anyone who hopped her would turn her over to the authorities, she'd be killed. And this is where Shimon comes into the scene. Shimon was unlike all the other Ukrainian goyim. For some reason, he had great respect for Yidden. He thought they were Am Kodosh. And he even read the Bible in his own language. And when the Nazis came and all the terrible afflictions of the Yidden started, he did his best with his brother. He and his brother did his best. His brother was called Martin, to save Yidden. And he actually dug a bunker under his oven in his farm, and he hid 10 Yidden there at the time when they were hunting down all the Yidden. And it was a great pressure for this Shimon or Simon. And he went out into the forest one day just to get a breath of fresh air away from all the pressures, and he saw this young woman there. This young woman was the mother of the grandmother of the Chosson. And she was desperate. She ran over to him and said, "Don't give me over to the authorities, please." The Shimon said, "Don't worry, I won't." And she took out her most valued possession, her diamond engagement ring, and said, gave it to Shimon. He said, "This is for you if you will not turn me over." He took the ring, he took her back, and he put her in the bunker with the other Yidden. And they were there for a few weeks, and this Shimon provided food for them and looked after them. And gradually the net closed in as the Germans became suspicious and the Ukrainians became suspicious. Shimon called the Yidden, all those from his bunker, and he apologized to them. He said, "I can't hide you any longer because you'll be at risk here. You have to leave me now, and my brother Martin will try and find you alternative hiding places." And they all went away. They thanked him profusely. He'd managed to save their lives. And as this lady, the mother of the grandmother, was leaving, Shimon called her over. I said, "I've got something for you." He took out a little packet. He said, "This is your ring." "But I gave it to you." "Yeah. I took it because I didn't want you to feel bad when you were living and I was looking after you and risking my life for you. But it's not my ring. I was just looking after it. It's yours. I'm giving it back to you. You'll need it now. Because you're going to have to try and survive this horrible war." That was Shimon Witrov. That was the Shimon who was the great-great-grandfather of the Keller, and it was his daughter who became a Gioris, and we'll see why. The grandmother of the Chosson was so despoiled from all this, she couldn't wait to meet people in the family who knew what happened to Shimon. And she eventually met the grandmother, this time of the Keller, and the grandmother of the Keller filled her in what happened with Shimon. After he sent away these Yidden he was looking after, after a day or two the Nazis arrived and searched his farm. They couldn't find anybody, they didn't believe it, and they began to torture Shimon to get information from him. Shimon didn't know what to do. He knew he couldn't withstand their terrible tortures. Then it occurred to him, he'd learned when reading Tanakh how David HaMelech pretended to be a Meshugana when he was running away from his son, Rebochov, now Sholom Benoi, and he came to the Plishtim, to the Melech Plishtim, and he pretended to be a Meshugana. He started to act Meshugana. His eyes rolled, saliva came out of his mouth. He was saying strange grunting noises, throwing himself around. The Nazis couldn't handle it. They were fed up with him. They disgusted. They threw him on the floor and left him. That's how he survived the war. After the war, Shimon wanted to become a Yid, but there was nobody there. It was in the Ukraine. Ukraine at that time, it wasn't Shaykh. There were no Yiddish structure. Ukraine was then under the Russians, and there were also Gross of Ashoim. But he told his daughter, "At least you try and get to Palestine as it was then, and become a Yid." And she did. And that was the great grandmother of the Chosson, who actually converted, became a Yid. And that is the story which the Chosson heard in the yeshiva of the Gioris. That was the Gioris. This story was heard by the grandmother of the Chosson as they were going into the vault. And she called over the Chosson, her grandson, and said, "By the way, have you bought a ring yet for your Keller?" He said, no, we're going together after the vault. The next day we'll go and choose a ring." No, you don't have to." She took out a ring. That ring represented that was the ring which Shimon had given back to her mother. "This ring is for you. Rabboni Shalom, 75 years later, has brought the ring back so that our family and my mother, who was saved by Shimon, and Shimon, whose daughter converted, should have their Ur-Eniklach, their great-grandchildren, together. And that will be a simon to you for all your future lives, that the Rabboni Shalom watches over you. He is the Maniga Olam. And as we said, the mills of Hashem grind slowly, but they grind exceeding small. That's the limit to us of Hashkocha Protis. And that's Haskel V'Yadea Osi, which the Sfas Emes says refers to Yedia Sabora. That is our Tafkid. That is what our Afikomen is from Pesach, Haskel V'Yadea Osi. We have to trust in the Rabboni Shel Olam, but he's kedai to trust him. He knows what he's doing, and he's a kol yochol.
So two things. First of all, there's a mistake on the poster. Tomorrow's shiur on the poster, it says 8:30, but because it's bank holiday, so tomorrow the shiur's at 9:10. That's the holiday time. And secondly, monthly collection, Rabbi Sai, anybody who's from the shiur, in the business.
Amazing, amazing.
Oh, yes.
You're asking the wrong person, how do I know?
No, it's just...
I've got no idea.